Take your Bible and turn with me again to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 27 and verse 35. Acts 27 and verse 35. This will be the final cut about Paul's shipwreck. I know that I have talked about his shipwreck several times, but I just kept digging, Miss Earlene. I just couldn't get away from it, you know. Just could not get away from that shipwreck.
Stay with God.
And so you just have to stay with it. Sometimes, you know, you're looking for something and you have to just keep digging until you find it. And that's pretty much what I have done as far as I'm concerned with me and God. Because I just never could get it all out. And so, I want to preach to you today. And I really, really think in my spirit, not only as a pastor, but as a prophet, I'm asking you to please listen carefully, because I've got quite a bit of material. I'm going to go over it all, but if you listen carefully, it will go relatively fast. I'm going to preach to you today on ships sink, but boards float. That big old ship they had made out of boards, it sunk. Scotty, it sunk. So ships sink, but boards float. So everybody say, God, give me my board. So I want to preach to you today on ships sink, boards float. This is about a storm. I'm going to read some scriptures, but you will never encounter a storm that God cannot handle in some way. Now, you may have to do something really crazy, you know, off the chain and out in the street, because Paul told them after he fasted 14 days in the storm, they were sitting there with him waiting, dear God, how long are you going to fast? We're fixing to die. Well, fixing to and doing is two different things in the kingdom of God. So Paul sat and prayed. They wouldn't listen to him the first time, so he just prayed 14 days without any fear. He fasted 14 days. They prayed, I'm sure. They had seasickness, I'm sure. They was hanging out in a storm for 14 days waiting on Paul to tell them what to do, because they had done had all kind of trouble because they wouldn't listen to him. And he told them that. He said, if you'd done what I told you to start with, we wouldn't be here. But since we're here, if you'll listen to me this time, we're going to lose the ship. But Deb, we're not going to die. Now, there's more than one person on this ship. I mean, it's not just like, you know, one or two people on this ship. I think it's 276 people on this ship. I added up in my head. I thought I wrote it down. But it's not just like, you know, one or two. It's 276 people on this ship, and the ship is coming all unglued. And I'll check it later. I thought I wrote it down, but I must have wrote it down up here. 276 people on a ship made out of boards in a storm for a while, you would, I don't care who you are, you should be concerned about that. Paul didn't seem to be concerned a bit. Why? Because he had talked to God about it. He had been fasting 14 days in a storm. And so let's read. Let's read 27:35. Let's read. We're going to read down through pretty quickly, Joshua 27:35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, he told him the fast is over, and gave thanks to God, just like it was a sunny day, in God's presence of them all. And when he had broken it, and he began to eat, then were they all of good cheer, and they said, thank God, Paul's through fasting. Maybe we can do something now. And they all also took meat. And we were all in the ship, 200 threescore, so that's 276. Here's where I wrote it down in my Bible. All right, and when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship. They cast out all the wheat into the sea. They throwed off their cargo. And when it was day, when the daylight come up, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek. They was close to some land they could see between the clouds and the storm. And they saw a creek like coming out. Like if you go to the Pearl River and fish, you'll see little creeks running into the Pearl River. So they saw something like that, in which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust the ship in. They was going to just run the ship up in that creek. They said, if we can get up in there, we can find a safe spot. How many knows that what you think and what really is going to happen sometimes is two different things, Wayne Beckham.
Amen.
Y'all with me? Okay. And when they never assume anything. And when they had taken up anchors, so they weighed anchors, they committed themselves to the sea, and they loosed the rudder, they just turned the steering wheel loose, and they hoised up the mainsail and got it in some wind, and they put the sail, they weighed anchor, they put the sail in the wind, they turned loose of the rudder, and say, okay, we're just going to let this thing go. And they made towards shore. Apparently, they knew they couldn't handle the rudder. It was no longer working. They was no longer in control of the ship, Matt Robinson. It was out of control. So they put the anchors up. They put the sails up. And they put it in the wind. And they made towards shore. Verse number 41, I believe that is. And falling into a place where the two seas met. I don't know if you've ever saw pictures of where some waters meet. They don't meet good. They're troubled. And I mean, there's places it looks weird because the two seas and the waters don't mix. And they ran the ship aground. Okay, so it wasn't deep, Matthew, as they thought it was. And so the fore part stuck first. So the ship is stuck, Mr. Tate, in this creek that they thought was deep enough to save their life. Sometimes what you think is not what it is. Park that right here. Park it. All right. And so the ship is now stuck fast and unmovable. They couldn't said, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Because see, the wind apparently was blowing them into the creek because they had done turned loose the rudder. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So the front part of the ship was stuck in the mud in the mouth of the creek, Miss Arlene. But the back part of the ship broke off. Okay? So now at this point, we know that the ship is not going to save us. All right? Now, the soldiers' counsel was, they had been told, something happens, kill the prisoners. Let me say something. If you're in trouble, you don't have time to kill the prisoners. If all you're worried about when your life is messed up is how messed up somebody else's life is, I'd suggest you fix your life.
Yeah.
Just saying. Are y'all with me? Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
All right. You ain't got time to kill someone else when you're dying. But the centurion willing to save them, Paul kept them from their purpose. He said, no, we're not killing nobody. Paul done said everybody's going to make it alive, and so I don't care what the boss said. He's over yonder at the house laying in the jacuzzi drinking wine, okay? So he ain't out here in this storm, so we're going to make us our. We're going to do what Paul says. See, you can get trouble enough, everybody needs a preacher. Trust me, I've had people that just beat me to pieces, lied on me. I'm talking about beat me to pieces, but something, life's kind of funny. You get in bad trouble. You got to find somebody that can hear from God.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So how do you treat them people just like I've ever treated them? Just as nice as I can be. So the man says, we're not killing nobody. Are y'all still with me? All right. The centurion willing to save Paul in verse number 43, I believe it is. Is that right? Yes. He kept them from the purpose and commanded that they which could swim. He said, if y'all swim, just dive in. All right. And first into the sea, and you try to get to that land we can see. How many knows it's a long way sometimes to where you're going, but just so close, Deborah, you can smell it. Are y'all staying with me? Are y'all with me? It's just right there, Brother Mick. But there's a bad sea, Angie, between you and it. So you're going to have to swim, darling. It's that thing, hold my sweet tea, darling, and watch me swim. Because somebody's going to tell you, we can't jump in this sea because they're so stupid. They don't know the boat has broke all to pieces, Martha. So if they ain't going to swim, just hand them your sweet tea and say, darling, just watch me swim. I'm not going to die here. It's a fact I'm going to die here. So Paul said, jump in this stormy sea and swim. This man hears from God, so I don't care. I'm jumping in. How many knows you can get to a place?
Amen.
that you'll just do whatever God says. You don't care how crazy it sounds. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, 44. And the rest, he said, if you can't swim, get on some boards. Float like a surf thing and just paddle. One of them boards, just paddle your way. And some broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safely. It's not humanly possible for 276 people to get out of this mess and all of them be alive. It's just not. I mean, it ain't. It is if God tells you to do what the man of God says. But some people would like to stay on that first, the part of the ship price that's broke and stuck in the thing. They say, well, this, you know, we got some ship here to hold on to. Focus class, the ship has failed. The words of the man of God has not. So how crazy they sound, I would go with him. He's jumping in, I'm jumping in, he ain't going to get too far from me. Matter of fact, if he stops, I'm going to bump into him. Can I get a witness? Are y'all still with me? All right, let's drop down to chapter 28, Joshua, verse 4. Read a couple of scriptures. And when the 28:4, and they got to the land, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. See, Paul picked up some sticks. They built him a fire because it was cold and a snake. Let's go to verse 3. Let's back up to verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper up out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. How many knows that the Holy Ghost can create enough fire? The devil got to move. Can I get a witness? You get a fire burning hot enough, the Holy Ghost in you, the devil got to go somewhere else because he can't take the heat, baby. You understand what I'm saying? He can't take it. He's got to go. And the next verse now, verse 4, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man, he's a murderer. I mean, he ain't no count. He's a sorry, no good. I mean, he kills people just because he dislikes to. Whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet he escaped that, but baby, he ain't going to get, because see, they are assuming because his snake bit him that, you know, he's a bad, bad person. And so he says, vengeance suffereth not for him to live. In other words, the vengeance of karma, the vengeance of the earth and Mother Earth and the stars and all that crazy stuff, he bound to be a bad person. He's got a snake latched onto his arm, his hand. Are y'all still with me? Let's see what happens to the snake. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. There is no snake, there's no devil that can take you down if you do what God says.
Amen.
Now watch what they do now. You see, God's got a funny way of changing things around. He said, you're not going to be the tail, but you're going to be the head. You're not going to be below, but you're going to be above. Deuteronomy 28, how many knows that, all right? Jesus said, the last shall be first. You see, Paul was a prisoner, but now they're listening to him. These barbarians think he's got some bad juju on him, so this snake's going to kill him. Howbeit they looked, and when he should have swollen, he should have fell down dead. Suddenly, this must have been a bad snake, because they lived on the island with him. This was one of them one-step snakes, where you get bit and take three steps and you're dead. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said, "This he ain't a devil, he's a god." You see how things can change around? You see how things, people can feel differently about you? Now, the Lord spoke to me, so I wrote some things down so I'd get it straight. Storms are not prejudice, especially demonic storms. They don't like none of y'all. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Trouble is not, let me break it on down. Trouble don't care who you are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Trouble does not care who you are. Paul said it's going to happen on this earth. You're not special. You're not immune. The only thing that gets you through trouble is the anointed touch of God Almighty when you get in some trouble. Now, Paul tells them to jump in the sea that's trying to kill them. Sometimes you just have to stand toe-to-toe at the gates of hell and don't back down. You just have to stand, not moving nowhere. All right? Sometimes that creek, you know, they went up in the creek. They thought it was deep enough, Sam, but the ship broke off. It was stuck in the mud. Anybody ever been disappointed by something you thought was going to work out, but it didn't work out? Let me ask that again. Any of y'all ever been disappointed by something, Allison, that you thought was going to work out? Oh, man, it was going to be, I'm talking about the best thing since sliced bread made with the girl with the ponytails on it, you know, that in a yellow pack. You understand what I'm saying? That kind when it's fresh, it sticks to the top of your mouth when you eat a sandwich out of it. Y'all know what kind of bread I'm talking about? Sunbeam. Yeah, sunbeam. Now, the bread come out right, okay? But sometimes, Lysandra, things in life don't work out like the sunbeam bread did. Can I get a witness? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There are a lot of disappointments on this planet. That's why you have to put your faith and trust in Him. Yes, there's some disappointments. They had to abandon that ship. What was left of it, Jessica? Some things are broken, and you're going to have to walk away from them. Amen. Some things are broken, and you're going to have to leave them behind and walk away from them. You're going to have to turn them over to God, saying, God, I done all I can do. I can't fix this. I'm going to have to walk away. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You just have to walk away, saying, God, the only way I can put this in your hands is to walk away. Now remember, ships sink, but boards don't. Now, Matthew, sometimes we think we need a ship when a board will do. Martha, sometimes we think we need a ship when a board will do.
That's right.
Micah, sometimes we think we need this big ship, Hilton, when a board will do.
That's
all God needs is a board. Well, some of these guys swam, whatever they did to land. If you was in that storm, you'd be swimming. I promise you that, baby. You're going to outrun grammar. I promise you that, and correct spell it. At that point in time, you don't care what the English teacher called it. Can I get an amen? You paddling that joker like a paddle boat. You understand what I'm saying? Because you want to feel land under your feet. I've been on some water situations. I've told you about most of them. But Jake, it felt good to feel that. Have you ever stayed on a boat so long, when you lay down at night, Hilton, you feel it swaying when you lay down? But baby, that wasn't swaying. It done gone past the sway, Josh. Yeah, we just need a board. That's all we need. The reason that is true, Tanya, is God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in 5 lifetimes. If we just do what he says, he said, jump in the ocean, jump in the sea. This storm been trailing them and trying to kill them for days, weeks. And now Paul told us to jump in. I'm sure there was a conversation. I'm sure the boss said, I don't care what y'all do, but wherever this preacher's going, I'm going. Because everything he said so far has been 110% correct. So I'm going with him. And if I die, I'm going to die with him. Are y'all with me? The Word of God takes precedent over everything else at some point in your life. It has to. Because God can do more, Angela, in 5 minutes, Jesse, than we can do in 5 lifetimes. But that's a place of faith and trust that we have to get to. Now, after a storm like that, Lynn, it kind of does something to you. Because when that snake bit him, Miss Merlene, he never batted an eye. He just shook it off. Why? Because if you can live through that storm, don't worry about that little snake. Y'all with me? When I was a kid, I was trained to be very, very afraid of tornadoes. Okay, I mean, it was just part of our training, all right? Not going to tell no tornado stories. Don't have time. One of my World War II elders, his name was Otto, was up at the store one day, and I was sitting there talking to him, and I was very curious about all their stories, and they would tell me some of them they didn't talk about. Tornadoes was coming. I said, they're giving tornadoes, Mr. Otto. They're going to blow us away tonight, Josh. It's over, done with. I mean, we're probably going to die before midnight. You know what he said? He said, son, and he talked kind of funny. I don't know if he was from out where he was from, whatever, but he said, son, he said, go do you about 30 days trench warfare in World War II fighting Nazis, and you won't worry about a tornado. If it's your time to go, you're going to go. And something about that trench warfare, he said, whatever. It don't make me no difference. I'm going to go to the house and go to bed. Because that ship sinking, that trench warfare in World War II, in that mud and blood and MREs. Anybody here ever eat an MRE? I have. Okay. Y'all with me? Pop had to just do something to you on the inside, and when you, a tornado ain't nothing, baby, ain't got nothing on them Nazis in trench warfare. Basically is what he was telling me. And he never batted an eye. He just got in his truck, went to the house, went to bed. So when you go through something, get something from it. Don't walk away empty-handed. Get something from it. Are y'all hearing me today? Get something from it. There's a lot coming out of the voice of God today. So when you walk through a storm, get something from it that them little snakes won't bother you. I don't care how bad the folks said it was. The folks didn't make the snake. The barbarians on the island, they didn't make the snake. God made the snake. So let him worry about the snake. Just shake him off. Just shake him snakes off. Just shake them off. And don't assume anything. But faith, trust God. And then they thought he was a god. At first they thought he was a murderer, and then they realizes everything turns around, and then they need him. You see, sometimes people can look at you in one light and then realize 5 years later, ooh, I need that person, but I talk so bad to him. Can I get a witness in the house?
Amen.
And so they're going to either have to apologize or just not apologize and swallow that crow and just try to be your buddy and pretend none of that ever happened. Because all of a sudden, you're the only person that can do for them what they need done. You're the only person that can fix that mess, and they need you. Ships sink, boards don't. I don't have a ship, but all I really need is a board anyway. A board will do. There will never be a storm, Miss Earlene, bigger than God and his boards. Every head bowed, every eye closed. 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. That's what the Word of God says. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. All things. I can jump off into a stormy sea and survive that, and then a snake bite when I get on shore that don't even bother me a bit, through Christ Jesus my Lord.